The wheel of time turns, and ages come and pass, leaving memories that become legend. Legend fades to myth, and even myth is long forgotten when the age that gave it birth comes again. In one age, called the Third Age by some, an age yet to come, an age long past, a married couple decided to start a podcast.
This is Shade of My Heart, a Wheel of Time podcast. I'm Josh, and this is my wife, Kat.
We just watched the first episode of The Wheel of Time, and we're so excited.
We just watched it, and we're both kind of blown away. First of all, because we're watching it about a day earlier than we thought we were going to, which is really nice. It's supposed to come out on November 19th.
Well, it did come out on November 19th, but it was midnight Greenwich Mean Time, so it's midnight in London, which means the shows are going to drop on Thursday nights instead of Friday morning for us, which is really exciting. So it was a big, big surprise. Very excited surprise.
And three episodes actually came out, but we just watched episode one, and we wanted to give our thoughts on this before we watch the other ones and possibly forget about it. So a lot to go through just on this first episode. Can we talk for a minute about the costumes?
Oh my gosh. I love the costumes.
Here's a big change from the books. By the way, this is going to be spoilerific, so
if you haven't watched episode one,
go watch it and then come back.
And all of these are going to go together. So right now we're recording one, but episodes one, two, and three are all in today's podcast. So if you haven't watched one, two, and three, go watch them and come back.
Big change from the books. Aes Sedai wear pants.
Bum, bum, bum.
In the books, Min is like the only woman anyone's ever seen
That's
wear pants.
That's true.
But it's actually a much more practical thing if you're going to be traveling and doing stuff to wear pants rather than a skirt. So I actually don't mind that.
Oh, I don't mind it at all. Well, they talk about that they wear divided riding skirts, which I always thought of as just big wide pants. Divided skirts.
Yeah, but pants close around your leg. The divided skirts wouldn't close around your leg.
It'd be like two big, huge, wide pant legs.
That aren't, like, closed. You know, they don't go all the way around your leg.
Divided skirts? I would think it was like two skirts, sort of. So, like, the wide... No. Okay, all right.
It's a skirt with a slit.
Oh, okay. All right, well, anyway, they're wearing pants.
Yes. In the show.
And they look great. Yeah. And and I love the costumes. I love the very beginning. Moiraine is putting on this like leather coat. She looks so awesome.
Yeah, her gearing up in the opening is such a cool like gearing up for battle. She's a woman on a mission. Like I love that. That was really neat. Her and Lan have a, should we say, a little more intimate relationship here. There's a scene where they take a bath together. Lan and Moiraine.
Definitely not something you would ever think.
Naked in a bath together.
But he says, so I actually missed that. He says something about it, which makes me think that he's like, really, we have to bathe together? Like, this isn't a great circumstance. Because then she's like, I'm surprised they even have a bath at all. And he says, well, the water could be warmer. Yeah. So she warms up the water. So that was really cute.
We do see Lan's tuchus, but we don't we don't see anything of Moiraine. She's just sitting.
We're not sure about what the nudity situation is going to be. So far, episode one has one male bottom.
Yes.
We'll do a nudity count.
Yeah. So far, one male butt. Which I mean, honestly, I feel
it's
like
fine,
it's kind of a different category of nudity a little bit for some reason. I mean, it's weird because a butt's a butt, but it's not.
Maybe for you. Okay, let's move on from Lan's butt.
All right. We get a really interesting scene of some red sisters hunting down a man that can channel.
With no backstory, though. If you don't know what's happening, you don't know what's happening.
Yeah. Now, we're book readers, so we understood what was going on. But it's also interesting, you see this guy, well, two guys, actually, and they're running together. And they're trying to get away from these women, and they're not able to. And then you see it's actually just one guy, but he's been hallucinating. So then a red sister says, oh, he's already mad.
Right.
And then they do something to him that he's like,
He's
ah.
screaming.
Now, I don't know what it's like in the show, but Tower Law in the books is that you do not gentle a man on sight. You take him back to Tar Valon, where he stands trial and he's gentled there.
Right, which is obviously not what they're doing here.
Obviously, but it's not clear whether what
She's
they're
following law or not.
correct.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
That's actually one of the accusations in the books against the Red
That's
Aja, is that they are
right.
not following Tower Law.
So maybe that was a little foreshadowing, little
Yes.
glimpse.
Could very well be. So that was interesting seeing that, and I'm sure as the show goes on, they'll kind of give more detail on the Reds and hunting down men because they didn't say anything about it in the show. They just showed it happening. We also saw a really interesting ceremony of young Egwene.
Oh, I loved this braid ceremony. So in the book, and I feel like that's kind of going to be something that we talk about, is just what's different in the book and hopefully lots of improvements in the show. But in the book, we first see Egwene and she does not have her hair braided, and being allowed to braid your hair is that you are now a woman in Emmons Field in the Two Rivers.
And the women's circle have to recognize that. And in the books, there's no set age when that happens.
Right.
Some have it done when they're like 16, 17. Some they could be in their early 20s if the women's circle think that this is not a woman that's ready to take on the responsibilities of a woman. But what we just saw on the show was this really great, clearly, it's all the women together. And Nynaeve, who's the village wisdom, is giving this speech about what it is to be a woman, and then she pushes her into the river.
Yeah, but it's really, she says something about trust the river,
Yeah.
and I won't go into that much, but I really liked that as a little bit of foreshadowing. But I won't
Yes.
say anything more about that.
Yeah, that was a good scene. I liked that. Another big change is we see that Perrin is married.
Perrin is married.
And we don't get to learn a whole lot about Layla, at least in episode one. That's his wife's name, but
Seems like something's sad with her,
seemed
though.
like there was something sad with their marriage. It was on the rocks or something. We weren't really sure. But they still
Yeah.
loved each other. I don't know. We don't really know what's going on there. But that's a big change. Also, Matt, in the books, we
Wait,
don't.
wait. I feel like we need to talk about Perrin a little bit more. We just moved right on. So I really liked Perrin being married because it gives more depth to his entire story, I think. I think it's going to be a really good, like, we're going to see some of what is his driving force throughout the story.
Yeah, we'll talk a little bit more about that in a little bit, but I wanted to talk just about the introduction of Matt as well, because in the books, we don't learn anything about his family until book four. And then we meet his dad and kind of hear a little bit about his mom and his sisters, but not a whole lot. Just in episode one of the show, we get a lot more background with them, and they are different than in the books,
Yeah,
but
it's very different.
I don't mind the change.
Again, I think it's giving a lot of character and a lot of depth to Matt.
Yes.
Matt is in the books, kind of like a mischievous little guy, but in this, he's much more of a, he's already a gambler and
He's a thief. He stole some woman's bracelet.
he's poor.
He's very poor. His parents are a mess. His dad's a womanizer. His mom's an alcoholic. He's kind of raising his younger sisters.
Yeah, he's really cute with them.
Yeah, he's sweet with them. So that's an interesting characterization there. We see Rand and his dad, and they've got. I'd say they have their same relationship
Yeah.
in the show as they do in the book,
Very
where
sweet.
his dad is a good, solid dude, and Rand really respects his dad.
Yep.
So that's pretty much the same. But we do see Rand and Egwene in the books. They
It's like not
are
sure.
flirt. They're not even really flirty. It's understood that they're going to marry in the books,
Right, like everybody knows,
but she's kind of mean to him.
yeah.
And
He's not really sure how she feels about him. He's not really sure how he feels about her. Like, he thinks that he loves her and he knows that he wants to marry her, but it's like, it's very unclear. It's very ambiguous.
well, in the
Not
show,
so in the
yeah,
show.
there's not much ambiguity
No
in the
way.
show. They definitely have sex, but you don't see it. You see the leading up and then you see the after. But you don't see them like actually doing anything
Yeah, it was just
together.
a fade to black type of thing.
But I really like the way that they interact in the show.
I do
They're sweet
too.
with each
They're
other.
so
But she
sweet.
does tell him, I'm not going to marry. I want to be a wisdom like Nynaeve, and wisdoms don't get married. And so that breaks Rand's heart clearly. And I think it breaks Egwene's heart
Yeah, she looks really
too.
sad. She can't decide between her career or a family.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, in this culture, the career says that you can't have a family, and the family says that you can't have that career as wisdom. So
Yeah.
she's choosing to be a wisdom over getting married and having kids, and who knows what she would do. Her parents run the inn in town, so maybe she'd follow in those footsteps or something, but.
Yeah, so that's a relationship that I think will be interesting to watch it
Yeah,
develop.
again, I love that there's more to it. It's just more solid seeing that relationship. I love their interactions with each other, and it's just more depth already.
Yeah. We also get more background for Nynaeve,
Yeah.
where in the show they say that she's not from the Two Rivers. She was brought there by a mentor. Who and Nynaeve's an orphan, and her mentor had tried to go to Tar Valon when she was young, and had been turned away because she was too poor and she didn't
Well,
have the refinement.
that's what Nynaeve thinks. We don't know if that's the real reason,
No, but that's
but
what she says.
yeah,
So
so
she's,
that's why Nynaeve doesn't like Aes Sedai.
yeah,
Off
she's
the
got
bat,
a
she's
built-in bias.
untrusting. Yep.
But she also, Moraine also finds out she's too old. She's like 26, she said.
Yeah, something like that.
And Moraine knows that the dragon is
Has
20,
to be 20, right?
because she knows when the dragon was born. The Winter Night attack is
Oh my goodness.
very, very different.
So that's another thing. In the books, we don't get to see that. We
Yeah.
know that it happens, but we don't get any sort of exposition. And I loved the Winter Night attack. It was kind of gory.
It was visceral, it was scary, it
Yep.
was violent and bloody.
Yep.
But you really get the terror of having these monsters, these Trollocs, which are half man, half animal hybrids, attack. And I think they are portrayed perfectly in the show,
I loved them.
because they're described in the books as they're very big, they're twice as tall as a human, very strong, not very skilled, not very smart, but very fierce. And that's exactly what you see in the show. And you even see them pausing mid-attack to eat somebody.
Yeah, it's really gross.
Rather than stay focused on the attack and then eat later. So you have them attacking and everyone's in chaos. Then you see Moraine and Lan defending the village. She's
Oh
using the power.
man.
He's using his sword,
It
and
really
it's
showed off his
awesome.
swordsmanship really well.
What did you think of how the power was
Oh
portrayed?
yeah, I was just about to say that. I loved the power. I love so in the we've talked about before in the book. It says that no one can see the weaves that a woman wields except for other women that can channel. So it may be that nobody could see that, but as the viewer, we're allowed to see it. But it was so cool how she was grabbing the power from like the air or from the fire. It's like she was
She reached up to the clouds
reached
at
up to
one
the
point and
clouds.
called down
Yeah.
lightning.
So I loved her like taking the power from the air around her, like she wields it. It's not necessarily inside of her, but it's like she can extract it. And I loved her pulling the bricks out of that building,
Yeah, that was wild. A lot of
making the
gestures. She's kind
fireballs.
of dancing. She's swaying
Yeah, lots of
and doing all
gestures.
this stuff.
Yeah, I really liked it. I mean, I wondered what they were gonna do, because in the books it's like they could be standing still and wielding like crazy. So I really liked how they had her moving around. And she, at one point, she's like, "Light, give me strength." Like, she definitely was having a hard time of it. And there's this moment where, hopefully you've watched the episode, and the building crumbles behind her as she crumbles to the
What a
ground.
great shot.
That was such a good shot.
Yeah.
And then Lan comes and protects her.
So good. Oh, we forgot to talk about like Winter Night's meaning.
Oh,
I
yeah, the
love this.
Beltane.
They did this thing where they would light a lamp for their loved ones that had departed, and then they would have to like lead their loved one to be reborn and come back to them, and then to have this dance and this party to have something to come back to, something attractive that they want to come back to. And so you have Lan talking about reincarnation,
You
and
mean Tam?
what did I say?
You said Lan.
Yeah, I meant Tam.
Tam is Rand's dad.
Yeah. And he talks about reincarnation. We don't know how long it takes for someone to be reborn, but you get to try again and do better than the last time. You don't remember anything from the other time. So that, of course, calls into question, what's the point if you can't remember? How could you even know if you were doing better? But that's beside the point.
Yeah. But it was good that it gave us a little bit of their religion. Like,
Yeah.
and I liked it, felt very, it went with the flow, you know,
Yeah.
just Rand being like, "Dad, how long does it take for the wheel to turn," or something. And it was a nice way to give us an idea of what their religion is.
Yeah. It was a nice lore dump that didn't feel like a lore dump. Yeah, because you do need exposition to explain some stuff, but they did it in a nice way, I think. The landscapes,
Oh
the
man,
settings were
beautiful.
amazing. So gorgeous. Oh, big surprise to me was Nynaeve getting taken during the attack
Yes.
and like carried off, and they don't know where she
And we
went.
have no idea what happens to her.
Now, I think we can safely say she's not
We
dead.
can't say it. They've changed things. Maybe that's the end of
Maybe
Nynaeve.
she's dead. Big surprise. A
Huge
major character
surprise
dead in episode one.
turn.
I doubt that she's actually gone.
Well, a major character dead in episode one, that can lead us to, again, if you haven't watched it, turn us off right now and go watch, because I'm about to say something huge. Perrin killing his wife accidentally. I wanted to burst into
Oh,
tears.
horrible.
Oh my goodness. And we don't even know like what was happening with them. That Marcus Rutherford did such a good job. I thought his acting was excellent
He
there.
was on point. So basically they're fighting these Trollocs in the forge, and they're fighting hard. Perrin's kind of going berserker. He's hacking this Trolloc to pieces with his axe, and he senses movement behind him, and he swings his axe without looking, and it's Layla. And he
Oh my
chops her right in the
goodness.
stomach, and so she's coughing
That
up
was so
blood, and
sad.
he's, helplessly holding her in his arms, and oh, it's just heartbreaking. It's awful.
It was really sad.
Awful.
And then, like, the next morning, Rand comes in with Tam. Oh, the attack on Rand and
Yes.
Tam.
Yeah, that was cool. I liked
I
it.
liked it. And it's interesting because in the book, you get all of what happens with Rand and Tam. You get their entire night, so you don't see the attack on Emmons Field, the Two Rivers. So in the show, I kind of liked that it was compressed. It's just the one Trolloc. It's a, you know, he puts up a good fight. Tam brings out his Heron-marked sword, which we don't know what it is yet, the Heron-marked
Just
sword,
a
but
sword.
we see that there's a sword with a heron on it, and like all of a sudden Tam is this really great swordsman, and Rand is like, "What is happening right now? Why is my dad really good at this?" And then of course,
He gets cut.
he gets cut by the Trolloc, and then
Rip.
Rand kills the Trolloc
Yep, from behind.
from behind, which is great, but Rand sees that his dad really needs help. So in the book, you get this whole night of Rand walking his dad back on a litter, and he's taking his dad back, and like the only thing keeping one foot in front of the other is knowing that as soon as he reaches town and as soon as he gets to Nynaeve, she'll be able to help him and heal him. And then he walks into this chaotic bloodbath.
Yeah.
And in the books, he does find Nynaeve and she says she can't help. And then the Aes Sedai Moiraine heals him, but he needs time to recover. So this one, Nynaeve's missing.
Yep.
And Moiraine does heal him, and he pretty much is on his feet right
Yeah,
away.
he seems good to go.
Yeah.
And then
Which.
right away, in front of the entire town, they're like in the middle of town, and Moiraine tells the three boys and Egwene that one of them is the dragon and the Trollocs are after them, so they gotta leave right then and there. And that's how episode one
And everybody's just like,
ends.
okay, cool, see ya.
Bye. And Tam even hears it and kind of nods
Like it's gonna be okay.
to
I
Rand.
thought that was kind of
Oh,
weird.
and they see that there's like 300 more Trollocs that are
Right. So
coming
they're like,
far
we have to
away.
leave so the Trollocs don't destroy the town even more.
Yeah.
Because they're gonna follow you. Yeah, but I did think that was the one thing that I was like, really, you're doing this in front of everybody? And
Yeah.
everybody's cool with it? I don't know. That part didn't.
Well, they're all terrified of Aes Sedai, and they all
That's
know
true.
who and what she is.
That's true.
So, that's a explanation there. So I think that's about it for episode one, leave taking. Good episode. We enjoyed it.
Well, you're getting three episodes today from us since we got three episodes from The Wheel of Time on Prime.
Yeah. So we'll continue watching the next two episodes and record our thoughts, and I hope you guys are enjoying it as much as we are. We are all in. I definitely approve of what I'm seeing, and I'm hooked. Thanks for listening. May you always find water and shade.